Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Are you the flop? This is Flop Culture. Welcome to Flop Culture, a podcast where we mainly talk about flops, but we also talk about bops, hot goss, celebrities, you name it. I'm your host, Fionnuala J. I hope you enjoyed last week's episode on Head, the Monkees movie with Zara Hederman. Without further ado, let's get into this week's episode. All I want for Christmas is Mariah Carey's bank account. Christmas is officially here. By the time this comes out, it will be November 3rd, so it's practically Christmas Eve. Happy, have a holly jolly Christmas. Can anyone not stop watching that video that Mariah Carey put up of her in the witch's outfit that she put up on November 1st for anyone who hasn't seen it, which I highly doubt because every single media organization has reposted it in order to hit their monthly video KPIs. It's a social media manager in there just winking at the camera and nobody can see, unless you're watching on YouTube, that is. Basically, she posted this video on her Instagram and across her socials in which she's dressed like a witch. The clip is in black and white. She's on a Peloton for some reason, or like an exercise bike. Actually, let's not give them the spawn. Unbranded exercise bike, shall we say. She's in her witch's rig out. The dates are changing in the background. She's all like dark, spooky makeup. She starts cackling and then it's like, it's time. And she does the whistle note and she's in her Mariah Carey Christmas, I've defrosted, here I am rig out. There is something hypnotic about that video. I don't know if it's just because she's not quite lip syncing the witch's cackle correctly, because she always sings live. Obvs. It's so, if it comes on my feed, I have to watch it. It's just, and I'm not even a big, I'm not really strong on like, you know, Christmas coming too early, or like, I like Christmas. I wouldn't say I'm a massive Christmas fanatic. I'm not like rejoicing now at this, but there is just, there's something about this and the way she's basically honed this brand and utilized social media to basically make this campaign and Christmas rollout even longer. All I Want for Christmas is You, in brackets. It's re-entered the Billboard Hot 100. And I thought this was funny from a very good Twitter account, if you're into, I think, or on Instagram as well, if you're into charts and music and everything like that. It's just called @chartdata, depending on where you are, which hemisphere or which, whatever, let's knock it into global geography. They tweeted, Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You has re-entered the top 200 on US iTunes on Halloween. And Versace Barbie replied, ended Nikki. The Barbs are going to come for you, Versace Barbie. It kind of got me thinking then about how much money the song makes Mariah, even beyond all the other deals she has. She obviously had a deal with McDonald's last year. She did her Mariah menu, Apple TV Plus. She did a big kind of TV concert thing. A study in 2016 by The Economist said that Carey makes about $2.5 million per year for the song. They also say she had raked in about $60 million by 2016 from the song being first released in 1994. So she's probably made an additional $12.5 million since, bringing her to more than $72 million from just one song. And that article came out 2021. So let's say she makes another 2.5 million. Let's do the maths here. Why did I offer to do maths live on a podcast? $74.5 million. Not bad. The currency conversion is probably about that in euros, I would say. As someone who was Googling dollars earlier in the week, I'm not going to do it now because I can't be arsed, but there you go. It's also achieved the rare feat of becoming a diamond certified song, which means that it has sold more than 10 million units. And as of 2019, there were only 30 songs in history to reach that level. So there you go. Mariah continues to slay. S-L-E-I-G-H. That was my gun popping off, killing the joke. Taylor Swift is going on tour. We knew that, but we've got confirmation. The Eras Tour is coming. I'm enchanted to announce my next tour, Taylor Swift The Eras Tour, a journey through the musical eras of my career, past and present. The first leg of the tour will be in stadiums across the US, with international dates to be announced as soon as we can. The tour poster is giving clip art. It's giving graphic design is my passion. And I get that she's trying to incorporate all the different eras and different images, but I hate it so much. Taylor Allison Swift, hire someone else, for the love of Jesus Christ. I don't know what I'm looking at. I will be getting tickets. I think she's probably not going to come to Europe because people are messaging me in there like, do you reckon she is going to come to Ireland? I think she will. I think the choice of venue will be interesting given the whole, well, I would say debacle. I'm sure other people would argue that it wasn't. Her playing Croke Park two nights and the show's basically not selling at all. I put that down to her putting on two shows. Like, I just think at that point in her career with no press and no promo and for such a small little country, I think me, Breed and our friend Aisling were the only three people in Ireland who paid for tickets to that tour, because everyone else I knew got tickets for free. Everyone we met there had gotten tickets for free. I'd heard stories of, you know, they were just like hundreds of tickets going around their workplace, just being like, get rid of them. And I was told at the time how many were just given away. And I cannot remember off the top of my head what it was. It was through someone who knew someone who was directly involved with the concert. So we'll just leave it at that, because I don't want to get in trouble. And I would not like to be barred from wherever she ends up playing for the Eras Tour in Ireland. It was a lot of tickets. It was in like the tens of thousands, obviously, because you're talking like the capacity of Croke Park is, as I'm looking at it here, over 80,000 across two nights. I don't know. Still a great gig. I'll never forget her. Oh, when they did Dress and the graphics, the visuals even. Anyway, it was so good. So, so good. When do I think she's going to come over here? I think at the earliest, it'll be late 2023, but I don't think it's going to be then. I think it's going to be 2024 at some stage. And I suppose the other question then is, what does this mean for potential tours from other big comparable artists? Beyonce obviously dropped Renaissance this year. Rumors of a tour there as well. Is Beyonce going to wait until she drops the second part of that project? Is there a second part? Are things going to change? Who knows? Rihanna obviously is dropping new music alongside the Black Panther sequel, Wakanda Forever. She's playing the Super Bowl. There's rumors about her touring. There's reportedly another new song dropping this Friday. So tomorrow, it's going to be called Born Again, produced by The Dream, which is also associated with this Black Panther sequel soundtrack. With Rihanna, see, like, okay, to go back to Beyonce actually quickly for one sec, there's an argument that like the audiences are so different for the two of them that I think fans will choose to go to one and not the other. Like, I don't know many fans who are genuinely choosing between the two should the two come to Ireland, but I think they're both smart cookies with that. So maybe maybe Beyonce will do like Europe first, and that's why Taylor's doing the States first. I don't know. I think there's a couple of things at play there. Maybe she'll hold off touring for another little while. Who knows? Rihanna then, I actually don't think Rihanna's going to tour anytime soon, girls. I hate to say it to you. I think the Super Bowl is her priority. I mentioned the new music. If you've kind of been reading blind items or like listening to Hollywood Whispers and all that jazz, like the theory is that Rihanna's new music was so delayed because her voice was fucked, which would lead me to believe that like touring isn't an option for her until that's fully rectified. I'd say anything after the Super Bowl is a bonus for her. Also, because she is, I don't know, because she's making so much money in her other ventures now, there's probably an argument where she's like, I don't need to tour because I don't need the money from touring, if that makes sense. Or maybe that's why she's like, I can probably hold off to tour a little bit later. We'll see. Rihanna's not, actually, that's not fair. I was going to say Rihanna's not that great live, but the last time I've seen her, it's both been in the Aviva, which is just like a really hard venue to play because the sound is just, depending on where you're sitting, the sound can be just so shit. So I would like to see her again, but I would like to see her when she's good and willing and fit and able. So we shall see. I will be seeing you at the Taylor's Arena Tour. Where do we think she's going to play? Let me know. Flapculture_pod on socials or helloflapculture@gmail.com. The Big Brother reboot has been pushed out to autumn 2022. I think they're kind of putting it down to the fact that the summer schedule is so busy on ITV. So they have, obviously, Love Island Winter is coming up. I'm getting chills even thinking about it, and not just from it being the winter. The summer edition then, kind of wedged between that, I think you have the celeb special of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, which is going to be in South Africa. So they're basically, like, they're, what people are saying is they're moving it to a more prominent slot in the autumn so that it will, more eyes on it, and it's not going to be like swallowed up by all of these other massive shows. That's going to be on ITV2 in the UK and their new streaming platform, ITVX, and it's going to be on one of the Virgins over here. We'll report back when we know for definite. Love is Blind. Love is Blind. I'm still not fully caught up. I'm just at where they're meeting Colleen's family. I'd fully forgotten about Colleen and Matt until they just started like, came back into frame and they're all like hugging their families and stuff, blah, blah, blah. It was very funny that Matt was just like, yeah, we weren't really, after they had their absolute massive banger of a fight on camera, Matt was like, yeah, we weren't really like communicating properly and we've realised, you know, that it's not actually a big deal. And it's like, babe, who's we? Who's the collective? Not you and Colleen, because I think it was just you that it's team coming out of your ears. Where do I stand on all the couples now? Initially, I was like, maybe I'm an SK Raven stan again, but just her, between her bashing the coffee machine, her kind of having no respect for his culture and food, like, we all get tired. You know what I mean? We all get tired. We all get a bit cranky. That's not anybody else's fault. Just the vibes that emanate off her, they're not great. And she's talking about how she wants her lifestyle to be maintained and stuff, and he's all about going to grad school. Like, he'll get a student discount. You know what I mean? Just use a student card. You'll be able to save loads of money then. That's all I'll say. Think positive, Raven. Think positive. I'm kind of rooting for Alexa and your man now. What's his name? Baron? Oh God, what is his name? Anyway, I'm kind of rooting for them now a little bit more. He's met her family and like there was a good bit of banter about converting to Judaism and the dad was like threatening circumcision and spreading out all the knives. That was all a bit strange. Masculinity, very strange. We'll never understand it. But anyway, rooting for them more now. And they're probably the strongest in my eyes. Colleen and Matt, I already think they're dosh, but I haven't seen enough of them, to be honest. Zainab and Cole just gives me complete and utter fear. Like, it's bad enough when Cole's family are like, we're out, bye, we don't want to see this, we don't want to know about this, good luck, have a nice life, save us a slice of cake. Fear. So much fear. And then they're doing like the joint prayer, him and Zainab's stepmom. It's like, oh my God. If you're relying on prayers, babe, if you're relying on prayers, maybe it's time to call it a day. That's all I'd say. Who am I forgetting? Bartisa, Nancy in her landlord era. Sorry. Girl bossing her way around all those condos. Jesus Christ. I was just... And then the fact she owns multiple properties. It's giving capitalism. It's not... He's becoming more annoying the more I watch. He's very has an answer for everything. Just probably a bit too enthusiastic for me in general if we were to couple up at any point, which we won't, so that's fine. And that whole conversation the two of them had around abortion. Look, I said this on my Instagram, it made my skin absolutely crawl, but it's why I love this show, because you don't get to see those kind of authentic, genuine conversations where you have two people who are disagreeing, you know, and I know it's highly edited, so we don't really get to see the outcome of the conversation in full. It was kind of very much like, moving along, lol, haha, let's laugh together, whatever. But I do think it's very interesting to see that as much as I might be on one side than the other. It's very interesting, but it can make for very hard watching. That is for sure. But I think they're dushed. I think I can't see it happening. They seem to be on different timelines. Ari kids, just their values seem so different. Her family do not seem to be having a bar of him. So we'll see how it goes. I suppose my final predictions, having not watched the next few, I think, it was Brennan, not Baron, Brennan. I think Alexa and Brennan are going to get married. And then I think all the rest of them are dushed. Like they have to be, it doesn't make any sense. Also, talk about the algorithm knowing Raven is flat out on my For You page doing her Pilates, winging herself around the place and just making really vague comments about the show, because she obviously can't say anything yet because it's not finished. But it'll be interesting to see when they all come out of the woodwork then with their things to say. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is over, thank Christ. I still maintain Rinna needs to be gone, put her on rest like Dorinda or whatever. I'm just over it. Though the one thing I will say is I feel like there's been a lot of pressure for her to leave this season, and you know, a lot of vocalness from the fan base being like, she needs to be done. I'm so over her. The lies and drama and involving herself in other people's drama and never having anything to bring to the table of her own. But based on what Kyle said on Teddy Mellencamp's podcast, I didn't listen, but Bravo Bone Collector transcribed it. So it's on her Instagram, I would imagine. And I'm paraphrasing here, but Kyle was basically like, sometimes the more fans push back, the less likely the show is to actually pull a cast member, if that makes sense. Kind of would make sense as to why Erica is still there, because there was obviously huge pushback against her. I think she'll still stay in the fold until the legal, unless any of the legal stuff is fully officially pinned on her. She's in until something else kind of major happens, or unless she makes the decision to walk away, which she won't because she needs the money because she's broke. Because you're seeing, even with Salt Lake City, which I don't watch, but I feel like I've absorbed by osmosis, and I will watch eventually, don't get mad at me. I feel like I absorb via osmosis, but from social media. Andy's basically said that they're done with Jen because Jen pleaded guilty. So it's kind of like, is she going to be at the reunion? Nobody knows, blah, blah, blah. But then by contradiction, you would, Teresa, who also pleaded guilty, went to jail and is still Housewives franchise darling. I should say Teresa Giudice of Real Housewives of New Jersey. That's who I'm referring to. So we'll see. Diana is definitely gone. She came out this week telling Raider Online that they have identified the person who was responsible for the racist bot attacks on Garcelle's son Jax. So we'll see if anything comes of that. Then there was also discussion around the reunion about Rinna's receipts, in inverted commas. She had two big manila envelopes. Andy said on his serious show this week that it was all about the Elton John debacle with Sutton about who had a table, whatever, who gives a fuck. So thank fuck none of that made it air. She's come out since and said, actually, no, it wasn't. It was all about Aspen. It was all about the fallout with Kathy Hilton and the meltdown she had. She said it was like texts between her and Erica and texts between her and someone else. I think an assistant or something that was basically explaining what happened. Do I believe it? I'm not sure. And maybe like controversially here, like the thing with Aspen is, I actually don't really know what happened in Aspen, but I just feel like this Kathy Hilton loving is kind of a bit strange to me. I think she's injected a much needed shot of firepower into Beverly Hills. She has her comedy moments. Nobody could deny her that, but I think people forget who she is as well. And we've also seen so little of her that it's like, we actually don't know what she's capable of. You know what I mean? And as much as I think the lies are kind of so detailed, or like, I shouldn't say lies, we're in a story, right? It's so detailed that it would lead anyone to believe that it is a lie. There's a part of me that just feels like something must have happened. I don't buy this senile, silly old lady act fully from Kathy. And I feel like it's remarkable that she's managed to pull that kind of switcheroo on everyone. But we'll see. We shall see until next season, something needs to change. Something needs to change to bring me back, I think, because I think this season was better than last season, but it was still, that reunion was really painful to watch. And just the end, I was just a bit like, we need to all yell at it, you know what I mean? Is that the movie where the dog goes out and gets shot? One of them anyway. Lassie? No. Something with a horse? Someone goes out and gets shot. Anyway, less of that. Let's get on to flops. On Flop Culture this week, my guest's pick is very in my wheelhouse. It's all about finding love, finding your perfect match. And it just so happens to be filmed for television. From Howard Schultz, the man who brought us Extreme Makeover, came Are You The One? A dating experiment turned reality TV show in which a group of people are secretly paired into couples by producers via a matchmaking algorithm. Then, while living together, the contestants try to identify all of these perfect matches. If they succeed, the entire group shares prize money. Lots and lots of prize money, can depend per franchise. Was so excited to talk about this with artist Max Anga. This is myself and Max chatting about Are You The One? Max Anga, thank you so much for joining me on Flop Culture.
Thank you for having me, man.
This interview has been a long time coming. I know we were trying to sort something with Bandwagons and that didn't work out. Mm. And then when I came up with this, I was like, you know what I'm going to get on to? I'm going to get on to Max.
Yeah,
we're gonna shoot the shit. I feel like he has a good flop he'll want to get into.
I love shooting the shit. You're very cryptic about it, though. You're like, what's your email? I'm like, you have me on Instagram. I'm talking right now. What's going on? Am I in trouble?
I know. I was trying to be like very coy and as if anyone would... I was like, what if this leaks as if anyone would actually give a singular fuck? Like, I've said it to some people in the email when I've been emailing them. I'm like, could you just not tell anyone this? And you're the only person who's been like... who do you think you are? It's a podcast. So we're talking about flops. Mm. So I put it to you, what's your favorite thing that kind of people, some people think is terrible or might be viewed in the wider zeitgeist as terrible? And you came back very quickly with, Are You The One?
Cinema.
Yeah.
Cinema, honestly.
For anyone who's not familiar, what is Are You The One?
So... Are You The One is a reality dating TV show similar to Love Island. Actually predates Love Island. Mm. I feel like I'm guessing Love Island took some ideas and concepts from that show. By the time, it was MTV dating show that had the biggest like cash reward at the time. So basically, if you won this show, you were given $1 million. And how it worked was there was a house of usually 20 people. They changed it from season to season sometimes. And in that house, there was 10 guys and 10 girls. And the idea was, in the house was your perfect match, as in they did analytics and studies and questionnaires and everything. They found the girl or guy that's perfect for you. And the premise of the show was you had to find out who your perfect match was before the 10 weeks was over. All of you do. And if you all get it, you all win the $1 million. And if one couple doesn't get it right, you don't win. And at the end of each week, you would get into your partners, you know, who you think your perfect match was, your pair, whatever, whatever. And beams would go off letting you know how many you got correct. But they wouldn't tell you which were the correct beams. So it was this thing of like, you really had to do a lot of thinking and research and like kind of like even me, as I was watching, I would constantly keep tracks of how many beams came off this week, who was paired off with who, and kind of do the math to try work backwards and figure out. And the only way to ever confirm who a perfect match was you could go into the truth booth and they would tell you, but you only got one of those once a week. And also you could also use like maths and like statistics, which I got really, really into. Like, I mean, you know that like meme of It's Always Sunny where Charlie's like has the board and everything?
Pepe Silva, the whiteboard.
My phone right now for, I think, the only season I didn't get correct was season one, which was just a mess. But like, it's the numbers and the, like the probabilities. I'm like, I'm putting percentages onto things. Like the likelihood of this is like at least 70%. This one's like 30. And yeah, so as you can probably tell, I'm very, very into the show.
It's fully like Project Maths meets reality TV, because this is a show that my friend Orla Condon, who hosts My Bottom Paper, she's obsessed with this show and like loves Love Island. I think she'd say on the DL that she actually thinks Are You the One is better.
Because it is.
My friend Carla was the same, and especially with the most kind of recent season that's been on air. I know there's one due out this year, 2022, where they made all the contestants like sexually fluid. That was kind of, I'm going to say quote unquote groundbreaking, because it wasn't like the first LGBTQ reality TV dating show, but I suppose it was, we'll get into it, but like the kind of the themes they talk about and seeing that take place, it was very interesting. But I avoided it for a very long time. I'm not sure why. I remember the ads on MTV when the series started, and it was that whole thing of like how significant the prize money was, and they were really focused on the algorithm, and like, because that is the thing with reality TV shows, where it's like, how can you be expected to find someone that you're going to fall in love with? You're total strangers. You've been plucked out of obscurity. You could be anyone. Whereas they were like, no, like we've done the hard data, we've pulled all of these characteristics together. Your perfect person is in here. And like, how much they ham that up with like the scanning and everything is just, it's high camp. I love it.
Amazing.
So I asked you like your kind of favorite seasons. Well, actually, even before we get into that, how did you get into Are You The One? Because I mean, like, this is a natural progression for me because I love reality TV. I love Love Island, et cetera, et cetera. How did you start watching it?
Man, I think it's a cliche story of this, your girl poisoning you.
I was going to ask. I didn't want to be heteronormative, but man, I was like, I'm assuming there was a lady who brought you into this.
You know what as well? Because like, not even in terms of reality TV. For me, I don't watch anything that's based in reality. I don't watch sports. I don't watch reality TV.
I don't watch anything that's based in reality.
It's all anime and fictional bullshit and award-winning albums Sunil produced by Adam Shanahan. That's what I consume. That's my business, you know? But I think, yeah, like, so my girl would got me into Love Island, right?
Okay.
And
What series did you start watching Love Island?
I started on the winter series.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah,
okay,
I'm very new to the game.
Okay, you need to go back and watch 3 because that's greatest of all time.
Okay, I'll give that a spin. So
I'll give you a list after.
Please do, because I'm kind of like, I find it really interesting now. So I was watching Love Island, and I basically fell in love. You remember your man Naz? In it, I kind of fell in love with him, and I just kind of watched the show, and I did enjoy it. And then I think just a year ago, or even less, we were in Waterford, where my girl and her friends are from, and I'm basically one of the girls. It's like her, four of the women, and me, and it's like, all right, the girls, what are we doing this evening? You know, drinking wine with them, hanging out, and they're like, oh, this is on Netflix. I remember I watched this when I was a kid on MTV. I'm like, what is it? And like, Are You the One? I watched about 20 minutes of it. I'm like, this is the worst garbage I've ever seen in my fucking, can I curse?
Of course,
in my fucking life. Like, this is like truly, truly trash. American TV, throw us in the bin, get away from me. I'm there texting, just avoiding it. And then they kept on watching. I was like peeking, like, no, he's not gonna do that, is he? Wait, did he do that? And it just drew me in. I think what I really like about it, in comparison to other dating shows like Love Island, is that it feels to me the most honest, because they're very honest about this is also a dating show. Like, a lot of people are there like, I'm here for $1 million. I don't give a fuck. I don't fucking like anybody. I don't like your fucking attitude. I'm here for the money. And they're like, yeah, but you need to like open yourself up to find your match. So it's people who come in there very publicly, explicitly saying, I want money. And they have to, by virtue of the game, be open to actually win the money. So I think that's really interesting. I feel like in Love Island, the worst critique the public can give you is if they think you are disingenuous or playing a game. That's when you're going to be voted out, right? But in Are You the One, it's funny because everyone constantly, when they talk about the show, say, we're playing the game, we're doing the game, we're playing the game. I think that's so, it feels a lot more honest. Mm-hmm. So that's what I really liked about it. Plus, Americans are fucking nuts. And this show could only work in America because, like, they love, especially, like, American men. Like, I'm friends with a couple Yanks from New York. And when we were in college, the way they would talk about relationships, I was like, how are you, on one hand, so somewhat toxic, but on the other hand, so emotionally open and vulnerable? Mm. It's like, they'd be like, yeah, bro, da-da-da, rubbing my da-da-da. But anyways, yeah, this is the love of my life, and I really feel like I'm the stars and moons with her. I'm like, I would melt if I had to say that. I would be a puddle on the ground. I'm going to be at my wedding and be like, yeah, she cool. It's calm. Like, I don't know. Like, the show is just, it's so good. It's so good.
So you don't think it would work anywhere else? Because that was kind of one of the observations that I get, like, from watching it. And again, from watching a lot of other reality TV, the thing with having an American cast is it can veer into this territory of, like, feeling, like, very overly produced and everything else. But, like, I only got to watch one series. I've just started 8, which is the sexually fluid one. But from watching that season 6, like, it's very clear, you know, it strikes that balance of, you know, they know they're on TV, but of course they do, because they're competing for this cash prize. Mm. And that's important for the majority of them. It's more important to some of them. It's less to others. But, like, this next series that they're going to do, the 2022 series, is supposed to be global, from what I can tell.
Oh, really?
So I think they're bringing people from across the globe. They're bringing it to Paramount Plus, which I think we have over here now, but we don't have an air date yet or anything.
That's sick.
So you don't think, like, a UK-only version, or maybe, God forbid, an Irish version would work, because it's just...
Here's what I'll say. I think, definitely, you can't do an Irish version. God, no. No. God, no. I cannot imagine seeing Colonel, his big rugby head on him, trying to emotionally open up to this woman he's been with for 2-3 days. Like, I think in terms of Irish TV, stuff like First Dates works really well. Mm-hmm. Plug, I was on it. Because it's like, it's very, like, small and not overly intimate, but it feels very kind of, like, honest. You can take baby steps. I think in this show where you're supposed to find your soulmate, you can't have anyone Irish on that in terms of, like, taking those big, massive leaps and being as vulnerable as quickly. In terms of other places, like, I think it could work in the UK, but there's a thing. I think it could work in the UK, but it has to skew younger. And then does that make it a little bit irresponsible? Everyone's giving this backlash of, like, Gemma from Love Island being 19 and, you know, doing challenges with dudes who are 27. And obviously, they cannot, like, it'd be weird or rude if they, like, ignored her. But also, it does make it kind of techie. But I don't know. Like, I think you could do a Nigerian version for sure. It would go off. That would be crazy. but yeah, definitely, I don't know. Any Irish contestants, I could be wrong. Like, there could be an Irish contestant in this global one. I could be on it. Who knows? But I don't know. I don't think it would work.
There you go.
Well.
He's pitching, if anyone from TV is listening. I was going to ask then, why do you think... Because in some ways, Are You The One isn't a flop, because we're going into, like, a 9th series. Mm. Like, it's won awards for the Sexually Fluid series. It has a lot of, like, hardcore fans. When you bring it up in circles, people are like, no, like, you need to watch this, like, it's better than X, it's better than Y. But it kind of never got really, like, mainstream, and we're at this point in the 9th series now where it's like, I think it has that cohort of fans, and it's never going to get to that mainstream place in the same way that Love Island is. They're obviously very different beasts, but, like, why do you think that is, when, like, in your opinion, it's a better, like, dating reality show than Love Island?
I think as well, because I guess the flop title is a bit techie, because it was cancelled and they brought it back probably because Netflix and everything's kind of given its second life. Mm. It's been on Netflix for, I think, 2 years now.
Yeah.
But it did predate Love Island, and that's where it becomes to me a little bit more clear in the fact that, like, this show kind of came before. It was a bigger cash prize. It was on, in technicality, a bigger network, and it didn't get the same kind of widespread appeal. And my only thing I can think of is blaming MTV. Like, at a certain point, MTV kind of slashed all its, like, funding for TV programs. Like, it was Girl Code, Guy Code, a lot of that stuff got slashed. So it was like, it was on a dying network. I feel like you put this on Paramount Plus, hell, you've put it on Netflix, and it's like, it's doing really well. People are enjoying it. But I think MTV just kind of fumbled the bag with it, to be honest. But in terms of the actual show, there's no reason it shouldn't be as big or even bigger than Love Island, you know? I think you have those shows that are like, are not as good. Let's say like, was it Love is Blind? That's really popular. And I don't think is as, of course I've watched it. I'm actually a garbage human now. I've watched all this shit.
I loved Love is Blind. Did you not like Love is Blind?
I liked it. No, don't get me wrong. I think Love is Blind in terms of a show is like, it's good, but it's like, if I'm saying Love is Blind versus Love Island, it's no competition in my eyes. But yeah, that's what I mean. So you have all these shows that are like good, but not like the top tier that are really, really popular. People who are in Love is Blind are celebrities now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. The funny thing is there was, as I said, I only got to start the first episode, but there's a guy on the Sexually Fluid series, Series 8, called Jonathan. Mm. Are you that far into it? Like the really long hair?
Yeah, I'm like 2-3 episodes
in. He always comes up on my Instagram. I thought he was a hair influencer, but he like got his start here. And when I saw him, I was like, what? Do you know when you don't expect to see someone? You're like, what the fuck? It was madness. There is a part of me as well, though, that thinks like on paper, not to use the cliche, but like on paper, this kind of shouldn't be an enjoyable show because it's like nearly too complicated. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of like, it's a bit naff the way it goes on. You know, okay, so it's like they all go in, they're all paired by this algorithm that we know nothing about that probably isn't real, right? Mm. If we're going to, you know, it's someone in a room being like...
Oh, you don't think so?
Do you think it is?
Here's the thing. I feel like if we were to put someone's like, who's best for you and who you like are often different things, okay, right? So I think by the time I see all the pairings, I'm like, that makes perfect sense for who complements each other. But also, like, if you're not as physically attractive or, like, are not what you usually go for, you might not approach that person. But I think all the pairings for me so far, I'm like, I see why that makes sense. I can understand why they would be a good couple that complement each other.
Yeah.
But obviously, you're getting a dating show and you're getting a certain type of person. You might not be always going for what's best for you. Do I think it's like a scientific
mathematical?
But I do think it's like, it to me, it seems like well thought out and well researched, which I love the idea of it being, honestly, like if you're finding the one in a country of, let's say, 7 million, it's a much harder process than like in a villa of 20 people. It like makes it a little bit simpler, you know? But I think that you don't agree with the pairings as much?
It's, again, I preface this by saying I've only watched one season, but even looking back at some of them now, like that, like Ethan, E-Money, my man, like that whole thing of, it really seemed like him and, it was Zoe he ended up with, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It like that for me, I was just like, did they just put you together because you've had this whole narrative, the whole journey through of having like no confidence and like the hot girls in inverted commas don't really go for you and like Zoe isn't in inverted commas like by normal beauty standards like a hot girl. You know, there was a bit of that where I was like, and then some of them, I don't know, some of it, it just seems a bit convenient. Who was that other couple that were together at the very, very start? Michael and Kiana.
Kiana, yeah.
I was like, after all that, they had like such a, for anyone who hasn't watched, but like the cliff notes is basically like, they were like together at the start, like really into each other, really hot and heavy, like in the shower, like heavy petting.
Yeah.
Michael like shat the bed essentially and was like, no, like kind of remembered the game and was like, I have to get to know other people. Mm. And also kind of to be honest, was like, I don't actually think you're my perfect match.
Yeah.
She was fucking devastated and was convinced they were perfect.
She just hung around.
And and was just, oh my God, the editing I will say as well is just incredible. Like the way they had her like at the start being like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm going to go for a nap. And she's like, can I come with you? And he's like, no, like it's just, oh, it's so perfect. Like, I don't know. There's like the algorithm. Like, I love it because it's like, it's a bit naff. Mm. And it is that whole thing of like, you're going to leave it up to an algorithm in inverted commas. And like, they're getting scanned in together and everything else.
Oh, the scan, the put your handprint down.
The GDPR of that, I'm just like, I have questions. But I suppose the other unusual thing then as well is like, these kind of big casts, you wouldn't really have seen since, you know, the likes of Big Brother or something. And even with that, you usually have people like steadily leaving.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. Like, I find it even hard with Love Island, the volume of people going in and out.
It's a lot.
When you're trying to keep up with like 11 girls, 11 guys, and you're going through, they're trying all different matchups at any one time. I was like, your head is spinning. Like, so hard to keep track of them.
No, and there are people you won't see for whole episodes. You're like, I saw Dimitri maybe like three times during
the
season.
I was like, at the end, I was like, Dimitri, I was like, I barely remember you. Like, good for you.
You know?
Who are you?
But I mean, it's like, this is more to kind of pull from, you know? I feel like, especially like in seasons of Love Island, like maybe last season where you had some episodes were very light on content and they're like, oh, let's see what who haven't we shown in the month? Let's see what they're doing. Oh, they're by the pool. Cool. Let's shoot them at the pool for like 10 seconds of dead air. I feel like, and then you can see, like, even with this season, where, like, they have so much going on. There'll be sometimes I'm watching an episode and we're like, we're still at yesterday. We're still at last night. We haven't got to the next day yet. They have a lot to pull from.
Because that's the thing as well, I suppose, with the, again, to compare it to Love Island, it's, you've no idea of the timeline in there, as you said, because they're, like, cutting between, we're usually nearly always a day behind, sometimes more, depending on, like, what they've shot, if they have stuff, if they don't. Whereas, like, this, it's like, you know they're going on a week. To week basis, and you even get that teaser at the start of like they're 29 days in and they're all screaming at each other,
breaking shit, and they're oh my god,
that's because like I don't condone violence is wrong, right? I think I like controlled violence in a reality TV setting where someone can, you know, like a shout, a shove, someone jumps in and is like, right, enough, okay,
that's it, yeah.
I'm like, that mirrors real life to a degree. Like some of these ones, they're going, again, I have to pull the examples from season 6, but like, let's just say they're after winning a date from a challenge. I love the challenges in Are You the One. I think that's where Trump's Love Island. I think the challenges are so much better and way more fun. Yeah, way more compelling. But whatever it was, and I can't remember the other couple, but it was like Alexis and someone else, and they'd won a date. And they were after finding out that like their opposite pair, who they were also on the date with, had basically hooked up. So your man took Alexis, I think it was. It was Kareem. Kareem took Alexis and was like, oh, just FYI, like they'd hooked up. And then Alexis comes out onto the balcony and they're like, flipping tables, like ruining sets, like screaming at each other. It is the highest stakes ever for them, whether it's about the money or whether it's about love. Because you hear...
They care about something. Fanula, he grabbed your one's teddy that she slept with. Grabbed it because she had kissed someone secretly behind his back and put it in the fucking fire.
Like
what kind of level of spite and hatred? Like, that's... There's something really beautiful in a fucked up way about that. Oh, my God.
That was, again, for context, this was Alexis and Keith. If you watch the series, Alexis comes up a lot, and you will soon understand why if you do watch. They've kind of been on and off for the series. Spoilers. It was revealed that they were not a true match, but they kind of just kept gravitating towards each other. This was the night before the final matchup, so this was like make or break in terms of whether they won the money, everything else. At one point, they're all just locked. That's another thing as well. Like, when I put up the screenshot of this put up a photo of my Instagram story, someone replied and was like, Are You the One will always be better than Love Island for me, because it's like the biggest like example of why they should drink more, because it's just chaotic. Anyway, Alexis goes away with one of the other lads, Michael, and like, they do like, what's the American thing where they like do...
Oh, shotgun and beer?
They shotgun the beer.
Yeah.
And she is like all over her tits, and he's in her tits and he's like kissing her tits, and then he goes up and he like kisses her, and they're like straddling each other, and then Keith's like, where's Alexis? And it's like, Alexis like, oh shit, oh my God, I can't believe he just did that. And then they're like they come both out of the bushes, and Keith's like, what happened? And
she's like, nothing.
She's like,
happened.
nothing. And he's like, and then like he gets her in the hall and he's like, what happened? She's like, I may or may not have kissed Michael. He goes absolutely apeshit, as you said, takes this teddy that she slept with since childhood and throws it in the fire. Like, it's the night before they're due to figure out who wins all the money.
It's, who does that? That's so good.
Do you think season 6 is the best season, or what's your
favorite
season?
It's the best season, oh my God.
Okay.
It's like, season 6 is kind of, in my opinion, tied for season 1, purely because there's one character in season 1 who is the devil incarnate, right? As in, what's his freaking name? He's this guy from Jersey. He's a super Jersey dude, right? And he's like, he'll say at the start of the week, he'll be in the like kind of like confessional. He's like, all right, this is what I'm going to need to do to have sex with this person. And he would say, I need to do X, Y, and Z. And it's like, you hear him say this, you're kind of like, bro, are you nuts? Like, that's a very convoluted and super weird thing to say. And then throughout the week, you see him do X, Y, and Z. And he was always right about everything. This is what I need to do to break them up. This is what I need to do to get people to vote this person to challenge. This is what I need to do to do whatever. And he was just always correct. Like, really, truly, someone needs to check on him. He could be a criminal of some sort. He needs to maybe be locked up. It was scary how just accurate he was. But season 6 for me is like, they make it a bit difficult, right? Which is funny because season 5 is the only season that I know of, or up until 6, where like they did not win the money.
I was going to ask that, yeah, because I'm going to go back and watch them all. But I was, because even with season 6, I was like, are they going to let them win all the money? You know, because they
were
so,
they were not going to win.
They did so shit at the start, like for so long.
They were so bad.
Like it was like one beam, two beam, like three beams. They never kind of got past that for like a good while.
It's techie.
So like season 5, they didn't win the money. God, you'd be fuming. You'd be so mad. Oh,
I want to see it. So it's not on anywhere. I can watch it legally right now. So I'm kind of waiting for it. Yeah. I mean, no, Project Free TV. The pop-ups are driving me crazy.
I don't need to know about any more MILFs in the area. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. God, it's like how...
I'm happy for them. I'm happy for any MILF. But...
I'm happy. What's up with their marriages? Is this many MILFs roaming about? Like, can you guys not work it out or something? What's going on? It's tough, man. It's techie. But you know what's funny as well? Season 8. This is my one critique. You're only an episode into season 8, right? My biggest problem with season 8, and I'm only like 3 or 4 episodes in and it's getting better, but it was way too healthy.
Okay.
It was way too healthy. You know why? Because they were all bonded by a somewhat similar experience.
Okay.
So it's like, and then they have a therapist now in season 8, because obviously Terrence J, have you seen any? Okay, so basically there used to be another host. His name was... Oh, David.
Why did he get pulled? I know the name. It's somewhere.
What was his name?
Anyway.
But he was, to me, he was funny because he had like absolutely no time for the drama. He was here for like, hey, listen, man, we got to figure this out. Come on.
We're here to find love.
We're here to find love.
No,
he
we're
just
not.
Paid it no attention. But Terrence J, who I fucking love, was like, he's messy and he likes the mess.
I think he's a very good host. Because that's an argument that always comes up with these reality dating shows where it's like, do you need a host? And I'm like, there's something about Terrence, I'm like, he doesn't impose. He's there. He kind of gives his own opinion. You know when they do a mad matchup and they come up to lock their hands in and he's like, a bit like, wasn't expecting that, lol.
Yeah, he's like, are you guys trying to win this money or what? Where's Laura Whitmore, man? Like, where's Laura? She is collecting a check and I have not seen this woman in weeks, bro. Terrence is here every week putting in the work.
Twice a week,
make sure the challenges run. But obviously for season 8, Terrence J is also the straightest man in the world. So he got
Painfully straight. Yeah.
So they have a therapist character who, for me, is actually quite interesting because like she puts a lot of focus in terms of like making people reassess and readjust back to like, what are we looking for? What do we need to find? What's healthy?
Right.
But I think the biggest issue with season 8 for the start of it was that if I can bond with you over like experiences of homophobia and bigotry, I'm a lot less likely to throw a table at you, which is like was an initial problem, but then they get messier as it goes along. So season 8's going well.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
See, that's kind of, because I'd seen when I was researching, there were like a couple of articles talking specifically about like that season, about how like, not groundbreaking, but like important it was. Mm. But they were still like, no, it's still messy, but like it's still as messy as ever. Like the jealousy, people going behind each other's backs, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But you kind of think it doesn't go all the way fully there.
It so far for me, it's the most tame season I've seen.
Okay.
But it's still like leagues above something like Love Island.
Mm.
And then also you have really interesting discussions I wouldn't see on TV where it's like, I forget who's having a discussion, but that guy you mentioned, I think Jonathan.
Mm.
Like, he was involved with this black fellow, or, like, the black fellow likes him, and it's, like, he's kind of, like, I like more, like, you know, masculine men. And it's kind of, like, that, and then it was, like, that's heteronormativity that you're leaning towards, that because you're still, like, feed into what a man needs to be. And I'm, like, this is probably the most interesting discussion that this show has had in all of the seasons combined.
Yeah.
Like, the most interesting and compelling, but also, throw a table at him. I say that, then let's throw a table on his head, you know? Like, let's add that to it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is quite good. But it's also the hardest one. It's like, it's 16 people in total, but everyone's up for grabs.
So yeah.
It's like, how are you even...
And the money is still... Because like, I think it's easy to forget, like the money is still there and they still want the money. Like.
Oh, I mean, the money is like... I like nothing better than people being like, we need to play the game. And couples break up and they're like, look, we're breaking up, but we need to play the game. Mm. We need to win this money. Like, you hear about the money in Love Island week one and the final week. I've not heard it mentioned, not really since, but...
But I think that's the whole kind of thing, like... The sale there for them is, and the sale that they want, what they want to believe at home is that people are there for love.
Mm.
That's the main reason. They might have other motives, but like, they're there to find true love. Like, their whole tagline this series was, we own love, or like, we're the fucking owners of love. It clearly wasn't that memorable, if I can't remember. But it's like that kind of, you know, like, that's what they want to sell to people at home. And even when they're talking about, you know, because they're obviously coming back the two series next year, like, the press release has all the quotes from the people who are like still together, like Naz and Ava, the people who got married, the people who have kids. Mm. Like, the money is very secondary. But that kind of frustrates me as well, because it's like, as you said, they mention it at the start.
Mm.
It's a big thing at the end where they do the whole thing of like, are you going to steal or are you going to split? And no one's going to fucking steal the money. Ekansu might.
I hope she does.
We're recording this ahead of the final, so I really hope we're making a good prediction here where she steals the money.
She's truly a star. I would support her in her stealing, you know?
Truly.
And the thing is, I feel like a lot of people, but you know what, Love Island, the money might be a secondary thing, because really a lot of people go there to be famous.
Mm-hmm.
I think just the inability to say that and have that be a discussion, to me, it's like, it always have that barrier of how real can this get, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, you're being, like, even I think, like, was it last season, one of the girls was bi and they just edited it out. But this year, they kept it in, you know? So I think Love Island's constantly adjusting and trying to improve on the thing. But just that barrier of, like, we can't talk about me coming in here because I want to be an influencer or be rich. Like, we can't have those discussions. Like, and are you the one that people would be like, hey, once we leave here, man, we're going to be, so many girls going to be talking to us, bro. We're really going to be popping. It's like, they'll say those things because it's like, the people are being more honest about their intentions, or at least allowed to be more honest about their intentions.
You mentioned season 4 as well. What do I have to look forward to there?
Oh, man. Oh, my God. Season 4 is like, there's a lot. Season 4 feels to me more aggressive. Like, okay. More physically aggressive.
Okay.
And there's one, I forget his name, there's one Israeli guy in there who is like just a hoe. He's hoeing. He's hoeing for real. Like, for real hoeing. I'm like, bro, even me, I'm like, come on, bro. Like, I know, but still, man, calm down. Like, it's crazy. And that's the thing, like season four and season one and season two, like, they're all very good. And season two is really fucked up because they have this thing called the 11th girl.
Okay.
So it's like 10 guys, 11 girls. So basically, one guy has two perfect matches, and the women bully this chick. They like proper. I mean, and she has no like say in it, but they are like mean to this girl. Yeah. Like, it's really like, damn, you really picked out a chick to just get horribly abused, huh? Singled out.
Even same but different. In season 6, where they bring the exes in and they're all like interviewing each other. It's Joe's ex, isn't it? And it's Joe, and I can't remember who she's talking to, but like, they are proper like having it out, and she's like, why are you being such a bitch to me, whatever, like just fully, it is properly tense moments. Like,
it's actually like, it's painful sometimes. Joe's ex is like, hey, I'm gonna get him back the minute he leaves here. I'm getting him back. You better fucking watch your back. What? Like, that's just good TV.
Are you sure?
You can't even script that kind of shit. It's like, who says that? If someone was saying Love Island, you'd be like, that's not even real. That's scripted. Mm. But like, in that show, just there's a right amount of off that I fully believe it. And what's interesting is a lot of times when they leave that show, a lot of people from season 6 are dating people from season 5. It becomes a thing where you start dating other people who are involved in the show. So the reunions are getting more and more crazy and more complicated. But oh my God, good soup. Just good soup.
Have to keep it in the reality TV family. That other host was Ryan Devlin.
Ryan was great. He would do this little thing when he was doing the light countdowns in the other season. So Terrence J is like, the beams are going up and he's like, one beam, two beam. But Ryan would get up and he would like face away from them. And then when the beam came up, he'd be like, one beam, two two beings. Three beings.
You can't see what he's doing, but it's extremely theatrical. It's
so dramatic, man. Oh, no.
Back to being high camp. If you were to do the show, let's say hypothetically, what would your strategy be? Because I feel like you look at this very analytically and very clinically in a way that I do as well, in a TV production sense. Have you like thought out like... If you were to do it and you had a master plan, what would you do?
So
how would you approach it?
I would do the. I would be the Keith of season six, as in like every single matchup. I'm like, I was watching it. I'll go back to my room, put a notepad, and just jot it down. I think the romance stuff has to kind of happen naturally, but it's funny because the people who've like, let's say season six had a group of guys. Those four guys dubbed the losers, which was so fucking mean.
Oh my god!
And just because they weren't getting that much play with the girls and stuff like that. Especially, I think Joe was in that group as well. And like, Joe and Shad were trying to be like lackadaisy and keep it easy and be like respectful and like, you know, meaningful in their approach. And they were just like dubbed the fucking losers, right? So I would be the analytical type. But in terms of like the romance side, my God, I think you just have to like maybe try kiss everyone. Let's give a go at it and see what kind of sticks and what doesn't stick. But I think it is weird. Not weird, but the people are like, her right there is the hottest girl in this house. So I'm pursuing this. And like when it blows up in the face, they're like, why would this blow up in my face? I'm like, because you picked the hottest girl in Utah and it's like went for it. But I think I'd be like very open to everything. A little bit slutty, but respectfully.
Okay.
And
respectfully
very,
slutty,
analytical
yeah.
in my private time, you know?
So you think you'd go more for like in terms of tact, you'd go more for the physical side of things as opposed to getting to know and see what things you had in common with people.
No, I would like do
kissing
that.
First, shared interest second.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I'm in
no
the house.
Judgment, no judgment.
I'm in the house, so you gotta do some kissing. You know? What am I gonna do? Not kiss? What's a kiss between friends? Like a kiss here, a kiss there. But I would never do what Michael did in terms of being with someone and then before any kind of concrete proof or anything, just be like, we have to cut it off. I don't think we're a match. I think that's being too analytical. You can be overly analytical with this thing where you're just like, you kind of think yourself into knots, you know, which I don't think is the best way to go about it. It's like, obviously use a little bit of sense, you know, if the stats say by week five, this person is very unlikely to be your match. Not that you need to absolutely shut it off, but like, you know, pursue and be open to other stuff. But I think there's nothing more beautiful than when a couple is told no match and they're like, just dead into the face of everyone else, $1 million on the line, and they're like, no, I don't care.
Yeah.
That's wrong. I found my person. Fuck you. And they're like, we have to win. We have to play the game. We have to win the money. Once again, back to the money. And like, this is what we're here for, the game, the money. And the person's like, fuck you. That's not what I'm here for.
It's when they come back and they're crying. And it's like, yeah, but I mean, on to the next one. Like,
and they're like, no. Like, to me, that's like, there's nothing more real than being like, don't you want this money and this fame and the game? And they're like, fuck you.
No, I want Keith.
I want, if it's not Keith, we're all going to go home poor. I don't give a fuck about nothing. Like, oh, like, that's like, to me, that's like, that's real. It's insane. It's completely off and weird, but like, that's real, real human emotion that defies logic. Like, is that not love? Is that not your
because
soulmate?
That's the other perspective then, like the thing with Love Island is you're sitting at home looking at someone like Ek and Sue or like past series, whatever, and you're in it for the money. But you have someone here who's openly like, I could not be fucked about the money now. Like, I'm in love with XYZ. I don't care what this machine says to me. Like, I am pursuing this hell for leather. Fuck you all. I don't care. I'm losing out on money. I don't care. I am thinking with my heart 100%, this is what it's about as well, and I'm going to do it. And Saws,
man, that's it. And there's couples like, well, it was Clinton and Uche. They're still together. They were not.
Are they?
They're still together. I think they're talking about marriage and stuff. They were not a perfect match, you know? So sometimes that instinct also pans out. Well, they're still together at the time of the reunion. I hope they're still together.
They're married. They tied the knot in 2021.
Look at that.
That is insane.
They found their person, man.
There
they found
you go.
Their person.
In attendance at the event were fellow Are You The One stars Malcolm Drummer, Anthony Martin, Nicole Spiller, Olivia Hunter, Zoe Pugh, and Cam Williams. There you go.
There's actually
a lot of them at it.
Not Malcolm. Oh, my God.
Malcolm was.
Oh, my God.
Malcolm and what was the gal's name? Oh, my God. Deandra. Deandra.
And then the minute. And Nariz?
Nareet. Yeah. The minute, it was that matchup ceremony where it was like, that, or that one of the first ones, and Deandra just turned her whole head around like Exorcist style and was like, listen, bitch. And like her eyes were like huge. I was like, I'm fully in on
the
show.
She was amazing. Or then when like, what was the one where like Ethan got picked and it's like, why did you pick me? And she's like, that's season 6 as well.
Yes.
And it's like, yo, was that Ethan? It was Ethan. It's like, shut the fuck up, put your hand there. I picked you, now get over it. I was like, damn.
Did you watch the spin-off at all? So they did a spin-off in 2017, which was like Second Chances. And it was co-hosted by Karamo from Queer Eye, where they did like, they took perfect matches from previous seasons. Mm. They competed in tasks to like test themselves. And they could add to their, like there was money involved as well, obviously. Mm. So like each week they could add to their potential winnings. But individual contestants had the opportunity to take their team's winnings from their partner and remove their team from the game.
Oh.
Yeah. Sounds good. Oh my God.
No, I haven't seen that.
Another one for
like couples who are still together or couples who are like...
I think perfect matches who... But it doesn't necessarily mean they were together. You know what I mean?
Oh.
Which is very interesting. To give them, to see if it was like... To try and make it work again.
That's cool.
Basically like you didn't do it right the first time, so we need to get you to jump through a few hoops to do it now. Like,
I mean, give it a second whack. I feel like everyone in life probably has like... a relationship or opportunity that they sabotaged for whatever reason at a time. Imagine the universe being like, go again. I've now put you two again to go again. And it's like, give it another redux. I did fucking First Dates and they were like, and I did it. So I was on First Dates with Shiv, who's also a musician, right?
Did not love Shiv. Woo!
Shiv. Shout out to Shiv, man. She the goat. Did not pan out in my favor, respectfully, you know? But I was like, you know, it was fun. It was an experience. And I was kind of like, not embarrassed about the whole thing, but it was just like, it was a lot. And to this day, like I've been on TV, I've done, you know, the Late Late Show, and they're like, you're the First Dates guy. I'm like, no.
There's no, literally.
So
please.
Many other things like, nah, you were on First Dates. So they actually messaged me like, I think a year after, maybe 6 months after, like, hey, you know what? People really liked you. There's a very good response. Will you come back and do the show again? And I'm like, God, no, please, no. I can't do it. I can't put myself through that again. But second chances, man. I'm all about them.
They're all about them. Just not
for me.
Not for
me.
You on First Dates.
One and done.
But, I was a background dater on like the first to the second series.
Oh, excellent.
And I went home with their man.
Both times or just?
Oh, no, I only did it once.
Oh, okay.
And then he moved to America. So.
Was he a Yank or?
No, he like talked soccer or something. I can't really. Oh. I didn't really think he was like fully over his ex. Whatever. I was just like.
But you're like, I mean, I'm here.
Yeah. The dinner was good. The food is nice.
The food is nice.
Yeah.
And they pay for the dates.
Yeah.
They pay money towards it.
Yeah.
Which is like, now I watch that show and anytime that someone like, they don't pay nothing, I'm like, so you just made profit?
You
just made like a profit?
It's insane. It's so, and I think they're after reducing the money per series. Not to slander anyone, but anytime I've talked to like people who've been on it, I can't remember how much I got. I feel like we got €50 each, but I think it's since that it's changed that it's €25.
I got 40.
Okay, well then I'm hearing all different kinds of things. If anyone wants to come on
that was a couple of years ago.
Dispute.
And they edit it in terms of like, they want someone to be like, how they want the narrative to go, they edit certain bits out. Because you know where they always have like they put in the split in the bill in it for a lot of the dates. But because I think they wanted me to be like, the spurred pup. I split that bill. I was like, are we gonna bust this down? And she's like, yeah, I'm like, cool. But they edited that out so that it seemed more like heartbreaking.
Right.
When like it didn't pan out. I'm like, hey, come on, you can at least show me the same. You split the bill. Like, give me something.
Give me my chivalry, you know? For fuck's sake. On that thing of the First Dates, so I think it is just that because it is such an intimate show, that's my only logic for people being like, oh, and still like recognizing you and like that being the thing.
Yeah.
Because it's that you're focused on that one moment with two people and TV is just so weird. You know what I mean? Especially reality TV. It's just like an invitation into someone's lives for however long. You think it's for that moment in time and it just goes on for so much longer.
So much longer.
It's crazy.
But Ireland's small. But here's a question about reality TV. Because this is one question I want to ask you, Fionnuala. Is it better than Love Island?
I think it's kind of on par. I think it's, I'll never go against the show that gave me a career, essentially. So thanks. Thank you, ITV. I think it's on par. I think in some ways it's better. Mm. Like I think the casting is like spot on. I think having that kind of like really diverse pool of people I think even what they're going to do with this new series and having it global and, you know, bringing that thing into it of like, does it matter if you're from different countries? Like, does love prevail? Like, you know, that whole thing. I'm like, I'm a sucker for that shit. Mm. Like, I think the challenges are more compelling.
Yeah.
I really like Terrence J as a host. I love that it like changes location even from like an like for the eyes, you know, and kind of seeing them move location and stuff. It just feels a bit more real. I love the stakes of the money. But there is just that thing of like, I don't know, Americans do be American, as I say, and there are, you'll very always American. Get people who are like, and you'll get this for Love Island as well, this is a critique of Love Island, you get people who are who know the show, and after that first series, you don't have that same, you know, sparkle where it's like, people are don't know what they're signing up for, so you get them like being really authentic, really true. We're on to the 9th season of this show now, and whatever season of Love Island, like, you know, people like people know what they're getting themselves in for to a degree. Yeah. So like people kind of know how to play the game. So you don't really have that kind of nice shine on it still. If you like Love Island, there's no reason why you shouldn't be watching this. That's the one thing I will say. And I think it is, I don't want to say criminally underrated because it's not, but I feel like if it were more accessible to people, more people would be talking about it. And there is a thing of like, I wonder will Paramount Plus having it now like kind of reinvigorate it? Could like Netflix have eyes on it then and take it in the way, because they've have their entire brand of like unscripted reality dating shows now. I'd kind of love to see them maybe take it over.
Yeah.
So I feel like they'd have a bit more freedom. It's very interesting. I'm fully going to go back and watch them all. When I have time. Yeah. Not now, but I barely have time to fucking scratch myself now, but they're on my list for just if I'm ever ill and I have to be bound to my couch, I'm just going to lie there and just let those Americans envelop me with their craziness.
Let's go through it. Keep like I don't know. Keep me updated. I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
I absolutely will. But you need to watch season 3 of Love Island too.
Oh no, I got it. You know, we can do it. We can do this a year's time and do exchange.
I want you to come back. You'll have to come back with more flops and honestly, we'll talk about like, more stuff.
This is so much fun. I love talking about this. And not obscure, because you're right. I think in many ways this is not like a show that did badly. Mm. It was a popular show, but I think just in comparison to, like you said, even say it's on par with Love Island, in comparison to where it could have been or where it should have been, I just feel like MTV really let it down, you know? I feel like MTV at that time as well was just like falling apart and it didn't get the chance to be as big. Because the fact that there isn't a UK version of this to me or Australian version or something is weird, but Love Island is like, you know, Australia, American, I think there's a Canadian version, there's like they're doing the Nigerian version, it's this big global brand, and I'm like, this show to me, in terms of the fact that it kind of mixes game show and dating show really well, and you were like, even in terms of you're saying like, when people have seen it before and they know how to play the game and whatever, and like know how to navigate in there, the thing is, there's no audience participation in terms of we don't even get to decide that. Like,
that's very true.
If you're fake or being really nice or whatever, that won't help you, you know, win the money. If me and Adam had beef, for example, I still need him to find his match for me to win my money. It's like you are tied to these people. Mm. So there's no like getting one over up on them and da da da. It's like you just have to find who your perfect partner is. And like, obviously, on the way there, you gotta do a bunch of bullshit and do a lot of stuff in between, but you gotta get to that point together. Or like, wait, what does Terrence say? Either win together or you lose together. Mm. That's it, you know? And I do kind of like that as well, where people who are like, I think in season 6, it was this point where all the people who were in the, you know, the losers, they were like 6-7 weeks in, like, look, you guys need to get talking to some girls. We're gonna back off of the girls that we're talking to. Go have conversations, give it a whack. Cause it's like, they did speed dating, like, I think on the, like, the final week or the week before the final week, like they were really doing everything in their power to get everyone
intensively
to figure this thing out, man. Yeah. So, I think it's great. I think it's great. But season 3 of Love Island, I am there.
On your list. We have been talking about Are You The One? There's 2 seasons on Netflix at the minute, isn't there?
Yeah.
And I'm sure you can find the others somewhere on the internet. I'm not going to tell you how.
If you want to be legal, 4 and 6 on Netflix, 1, 2, and 8 is on Hey You and also Now TV. And the rest are the rest. Do what
you
gotta do.
Oh my God, I have Hey You and Now TV and I went, I'm a moron. I was on, forget it. I cannot believe I did that to myself. I played myself majorly. But happy streaming. Max, where can people find out more about you? What are you up to? Do you want to plug anything?
Yeah, sure. You can like follow me on Twitter at, what's my fucking name? Jesus. I'm on Twitter at,
I'm obsessed with the So people are usually like, yeah, da-da-da-da-da-da. You're like, I can't remember my Twitter handle. It could be anything.
I've recently changed it. I'm on Instagram. If you want to go check out, you know, Tebby Rex of music stuff, or who's Fillmore, who I'm not related to or in any way involved with for also music stuff, but you can check him out too. I'm on Twitter. I think it's Max Zanga, right, Adam? My Twitter name is I Am Not Fillmore, so like whatever comes up for that will come up for that. But I'm kind of
Tebby Flex.
Yes, oh my god, I Tebby Flex. I'm so dumb. I haven't changed this from that for years. I'm at festivals with White Claw interviewing people. I'm doing stuff with the something festival for art stuff. And yeah, I'm just generally like, you know, freelance baby. So like, kind of like you, Fanu, I do like fucking everything. And it's so cool seeing you on TV and shit, man. You out here.
Thanks.
Man, you put, when they go give you the city to Cork, man, you're putting the city on the map for real.
Soon, hopefully, soon.
I'll give you the key.
Max, it's been a pleasure. I'd love to have you back. Let's come back and shoot the shit about something else at some stage.
100%.
And you can stream Max's new song as Fillmore, Fuck 'Em Up. It's available now wherever you get music, and I will link it below. Are You The One is now streaming on Paramount Plus, so you can get a 7-day free trial on a new account. And for this episode, I actually watched Are You The One UK, which is much better than I thought it would be. It's 10 episodes. Actually features an Irish gal called Therese. If anyone has any hookups there, if she would be willing to come on the podcast, spill any tea, would be much appreciated. When I started it, also, I think it's the same set for anyone who's watched True Love or True Lies, which is another MTV reality dating show, which is severely underrated, if anyone wants to come on about that. Hosted by girl Danny Dyer, voiceover by man Danny Dyer, so it's hilarious because Danny D-A-N-I is there for a good time, not a long time. And then Danny Dyer's like, cool, all right, you slags, true love or true lies. That was a terrible impression. But basically the whole premise of the show is they have to figure out who's a real couple and who's not. But it was really diverse in that you had like polyamorous couples, you know, like across the LGBTQ spectrum, identifying that kind of way. Really, really interesting. And it was basically whoever was left wins the money, whoever is like identified who's not or who's real. It's very good. I'm not sure if you can still, maybe that's on Paramount Plus as well, but go find that. If not, someone come on and do an episode on it with me as well, please. But back to Are You The One UK, my point was Are You The One UK is filmed in Malta, and I'm 90% sure it's the same set as True Love or True Lies. Anyway, initially I was watching and I was like, I'm not gonna like this, it's gonna be too like, there's something about the Americans with reality TV shows that it's just so ridiculous and it's so unbelievable and like fake that it's, that it ends up just coming around the other way and it's entertaining. There's something about when it's really put on with some of the UK shows that it just kind of sets my teeth on edge. You know what I really find it with, and I haven't really been watching, but I've been watching it via TikTok, is the new Geordie Shore. Anytime I watch clips of that, because they're so, I suppose, media trained now and so savvy to how it works, that there's no, I don't know, it just doesn't translate on screen for me anymore as believe, like I find it quite jarring in a way that's just not entertaining. So I started this and I was like, I'm not gonna like this, not gonna be my vibe. But I think they got the casting like really, really good. We had, and also I will say like this, the cast of Are You The One UK, it honestly makes the whole thing look like, it makes Love Island look like Seventh Heaven. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I've never met a more toxic bunch of people in my life, which is what made it endlessly entertaining. You have Vic, who's a project manager, party girl, works in construction, wants to move away from the partying, find a nice man, don't we all? Tasha, who has like thinks she's really sweet, you know, she has like this really nice smile on her face, never stops smiling, would smile and look you directly in the eye and go, I'm going to fucking kill you in your sleep. I'm batting my eyelashes here. And she'd said in an English accent, obviously. Then we have Robin. Robin was one of my faves, I think, for anyone who's watched. I was surprised with who ended up being her perfect match. Tafika, I really enjoyed. She actually grew up in Ireland. Up Ireland, so if you're hearing an Irish accent, that's why. She's lived in over 30 countries in her life. She's very funny. She gets the ick about shoes a lot. Very, very funny. Juan. Didn't really see that much. Didn't make a huge impression on me, to be quite honest. Therese, my gal, County Antrim, healthcare worker. Loved her in this. Also feel like she didn't get an adequate enough amount of time to shine, to be completely honest. Theo, funeral director, needs to be on a watch list. That man, and not just for being a funeral director. Shout out to my funeral directors who are, I'm sure, make up a huge demographic of Flop Culture listeners. He is strange, but he's messy, like kissing people, telling other people about who he was kissing. Exactly what the show needed. And also just kept falling in love with, like, just every person was his perfect match at one point. Libby, she's a horse girl. She's a horsey girl. And then the first date ends up being on horses. And she's like, when I saw the horses, I was just absolutely thrilled. I was just delighted. She describes herself as a super glam farmer. Good for her. Unlucky in love. All her boyfriends have been cheating on her. So she's like, get me back in there. Then we have Tia, another one who is like categorically unhinged. Again, is just like, doesn't care about the game. Is just there for the smooch. Is just there for someone to grab her bum consensually. Not good. Shay, I really enjoyed Shay. Big personality. Well able to say stuff in the group. Loved that. Jack, didn't make much of an impression. Safia, really like Safia. Olivia, so boring. Oh my God. Josh sings in like, what's the word when they're like, oh, like Ellie Goulding. Oh, my friends are going to be mad at me because I said that. Sings in like, not italics, sings in, oh, what's that expression? Sings in cursive. That's what I mean. He's like, oh, like he's a singer-songwriter. He's in there for his music career. And he's like, oh, are you the one? And it's just like, sets my teeth on edge, honestly. Jordan, very nice. Obsessed with his mom. Addressing him as his personality for some reason. Jacob, also very chaotic, but loved it within the context of the game. Charlie, the biggest fuckboy I've ever met in my entire life and I haven't even met him. Joshy, I really hate the fact that he goes by Joshy. You're 24. You're Josh now. You're not in creche. Ismail, very boring as well, I'm going to be honest. Sexy, sexy Cash. Hated all of them by the end of it. I loved it. He was just so allergic to the rest of the lads. So good. So, oh, just go watch it. It's very enjoyable. It's probably not like, it's not like top, top tier, but I absolutely don't regret watching it. You have great lines. Like at one point, one of the lads is like, I'm not in the business of upsetting girls. I would hope not. Oh, just so good. You go watch that. Let me know what you think. Or if you have watched, let's talk about it. I just don't want to get into it too much for fear of spoiling it for other people. So DM me at flapculture_pod and we can shoot the shit out of it. But for now, who's top of the flops this week?
You're a flop. Flop.
Top of the flops this week is daylight savings time. Why the fuck are we still putting the clocks back? I like the clocks going back because I get another hour's sleep. But the fact that it just makes everything so dark, so, so dark, so early. And also, it's just annoying having to change all the clocks. And I know a lot of stuff just automatically changes now. My car doesn't change. And it's very irritating. And also, I just hate that moment the day after where you like shit the bed because you think you're late for something or you're too worried. Do you know what I mean? It's just, how have we not evolved as a society where we just decide what time it is ourselves? Do you know? Why are we being governed by clocks? Why are we being governed by numbers? Why are we letting them tell us what to do? Anyway, top of the flops, over it. Over it. Thank you so much for listening once again to Flop Culture. We are on Instagram and TikTok under flopculture_pod. You can get in touch at helloflopculture@gmail.com. If you leave a 5-star review in your name or nickname on Apple Podcasts, I will recommend a bop to you. You can also leave a 5-star review on Spotify. But this week's bop is for Una S on Apple Podcasts. You go enjoy Nick Jonas's 2016 album, Last Year Was Complicated. Nick Jonas's solo music is so good. The album has levels, levels, Levels. That was my best impersonation of it. Close, which is a Tuvalu collab. Testify, which is great in the gym. The Difference, a really good song. Under You, so good. Chainsaw, which is a good but slightly weird kind of power ballad about wrecking a gaff because you haven't gotten a shag. We've all been there. Go listen to it. All of his solo music is really, 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 really underrated. I don't get it. Justice for Nick Jonas. Someone come on and talk about these albums with me, please. We'll have a hoolie. In the meantime, this has been edited by Adam Shanahan. Our gorgeous artwork is by Brian Lambert, as always. I will see you all next week with another flap. Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.